The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
You probably know how much I love my sweet mother, Queen Lainey. I have had her on the pod multiple times now. And there are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From her childhood, growing up with my yaya, when she got stood up at prom, and also the highs, like the day she gave birth to me. And with Mother's Day around the corner, I found the perfect gift that captures all of her amazing stories that my family can cherish forever. And it's called StoryWorth. StoryWorth helps preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or the mama figures in your life for the years to come. And here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you help choose, like, who are your favorite artists? What were you like as a teenager? Who have been the closest friends of yours throughout the years? And so much more. And you can choose from their, like, very large catalog of questions and customize it so your loved one is answering the questions that you hand-selected. Then each week, StoryWorth emails them one of these questions for them to write a response. And at the very end of a year of weekly emails, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a gorgeous keepsake hardcover book that you can share and look back on for generations to come. I personally like titling the ones that I give to my loved ones the book of so-and-so. So the book of Lainey, the book of Yaya. So give all the mamas in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you can cherish for years with StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/RealPod. That's StoryWorth.com/RealPod to save $10 on your first purchase.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mullen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick Brown, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real. Pasha and Daniela, welcome to Real Pod. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Of course. It was so fun the first time we met. Out of nowhere, Max and I are trying to do our first dance, and we got connected through mutual teams, and I learned about your course, which now I tell everyone. I have a friend currently who's doing it on your site. Yep. I think it's the best ever. They're always like, okay, so we get to work with them. I'm like, I just got really, really lucky. But I'm like, it's just as good through the course. I'm like, because we had to take the whole course through. So that was such a fun experience. And I'm so glad now to have you.
Thank you.
Have you guys done many podcasts? Do you ever do them together? Or is this like new?
Actually, this is the first time.
This is the first time together, yeah.
Oh my God. And a Real Pod exclusive.
Yeah.
Plot twist. So I actually don't know if I'm super familiar with both of your stories as professional dancers and how that actually led you guys together. Because it's almost like upon meeting you, you seem like the perfect match, but I can also see like how you guys probably had different experiences.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, basically, I started dancing when I was 6 years old because my mom is a guidance counselor in a high school, but she also has her license in psychology. So she has a double master's in that. And growing up, I was very, very active. So it wasn't just me running around the house and her telling me to calm down. It was more so like I couldn't sit still, and it was getting to a very extreme point where in school I couldn't focus. I was getting distracted by flies and all that stuff. So my mom took me to a doctor, and the doctor basically diagnosed me with ADHD. And she was like, okay, this is challenging, but I want to kind of do it without the medication because they put me on medication. So her being a psychologist, she did different games with me, and she was working in her high school. And basically in the high school, she had a a parent who came in and talked about her daughter, how she enrolled her in dance and helped her in school and stuff. So my mom was like, interesting. She took me to my first dance lesson and I basically fell in love and I started doing better in school. I started being able to focus more. And it just, instead of a hobby, it turned into like a lifestyle. So it was just something I couldn't live without anymore. And all my attention, all my emotions, all my hard work, everything went into one thing so that I was able to focus better in life situations. And that's basically how I started. And funny enough, I've known Pasha pretty much my whole life. We had the same dance teachers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were both so elite at a young age that you were out there training in the same circles.
Well, where we started and we went to the dance studio, like, it's nothing but serious dance. Like, you can't just do dance as a hobby there. Like, our teachers were very serious about ballroom dancing and making you into a champion. Like, we wanted to be champions from the get-go. It wasn't like, oh, let's dance a little bit on the side and then do something else.
It wasn't like my hip-hop class my mom dropped me off at.
Probably not. You never know. You might be a hip-hop prodigy over here.
No, I wasn't. But I feel like there's two types, right? There's like 90% of kids where the mom's like, oh, they throw you in, or the dad's, you know, ballet or whatever because your friends are doing it, but it's not like serious. And then there's, wow, you're really talented. We want to put you in a place where you can thrive and we can reach your potential. And that sounds like what this was.
Yeah, I mean, we lived it. We breathed it this was all we knew. So when we did have the same goals and teachers and all that, it made it a little bit easier, you know. But we were competing at the same competitions all over the world as well. But thankfully, at one point, I mean, not thankfully, because I was really sad about it. My partner dropped out. He was like, I'm into girls now, and that's all I want to do is be with different girls. And I was like, great. It's my best friend.
And hockey.
Like, my best friend is basically dumping me for a girl and hockey. Great. And then I was like, well, I have to look for a new partner. So I met this other guy, and it wasn't a great relationship. It was just not great. And Pasha happened to be looking for a partner. And then all of a sudden, like, our world's just, like, fate. I don't know. Our dance teacher called us, and he's like, all right, Pasha's looking for a partner, which, funny enough, she was on Dancing with the Stars. She got casted, right?
Well, this is the reason why. So yeah. I was with my partner for many, many years together as well, and she got casted to be on Dancing with the Stars, and this is how we stopped dancing together. So I was looking for a new partner. I mean, it's a lot of full circle moments that are tied up together pretty. Now that you look back on it, it's pretty crazy. Our coaches, they saw, like, they're like, look, this girl is very, very talented. And I think you should, you know, try dancing with her and everything. She has this X factor that you can't teach. She's amazing. So you'll see it's all going to work out. And I reached out and I asked for a tryout.
Something that's coming to mind is just about your childhood experiences. At the time, did you think like, oh, I'm missing out on these, quote, normal experiences at school? Did you care? Do you ever reflect now and think, I didn't have that, but I sacrificed it to get here? Because when we think about the competitive dancers, I mean, I even think of Julianne and Derek Huff, you think of like their childhood and it's not the traditional childhood.
You know what? I grew up with a single mom who literally tried to give me, who did. She didn't try. She gave me the best life I could have possibly had. And by her not knowing where this can take me, she took a huge risk by spending just so much money, because the ballroom dance industry is not cheap. And we didn't have money growing up. So for her to work three jobs to get me one dance lesson a week or in 2 weeks, that's all she could afford. I was so in love with it that I didn't need like the side hustle of my club life, or I didn't need the drugs, the alcohol. I was just so in love with dancing that I didn't feel like I was missing out. And then, to be honest, I never felt like I was missing out, because my mom allowed me to also have my own life, where if my friends invited me somewhere, I went. And she wasn't like controlling. She was just like, here you go. This is what you can have. And go ahead, take it. So she gave me more than everything I could have ever imagined for myself. So, which hopefully I can give my baby one day too.
I'm sure you will. Pasha, what about yourself?
It's interesting, because I think I was so obsessed with dancing, competing, and I think I loved the competition aspect of it, right? Like, I think I was I love the mental game about it, you know, about, you know, staying focused. I read all those books, you know, about being present in the moment, you know, the strength of your focus. I loved every part of it. And I was so upset. And I remember no matter what I was doing, whether I was in school, I was always, you know, my head was always in dance. My head was always there. And I feel like I was completely oblivious to the outside world, what was happening, because a couple of years ago, this boy from my high school, he wrote to me and he goes, congratulations on all your success. And he goes, now all those like people who were like laughing at you in high school that were like kind of bullying you and everything because I did a couple of performances, whatever, like now they will see that you succeeded. And I go, what? Somebody laughed at me. I was bullied. Like,
I was really cool.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. I was so like obsessed with what I was doing, and I loved it so much that I feel like I didn't ignore it on purpose. I just missed it. Missed the fact that somebody was making fun of what I was doing, or you know. So for me, it was like this was my experience. Only when somebody pointed it out, I noticed it.
Max and I recently moved into our new apartment, which we've been loving. I've been documenting the journey of making it cozy and aesthetically pleasing and curating our vibe. And you may be aware of my new passion for keeping our space decluttered. So I need all the help I can get when it comes to that sleek looking practical appliance for the kitchen. And that's why we're loving the Beast Mini Blender. It has such a luxurious design that was created to be on display in the kitchen counter. So there's no need to tuck the Beast Mini Blender away in a cabinet when you're tidying up the kitchen. I mean, these blenders are really cute. My favorite color is sand. It's exactly what you're picturing. It's honestly stunning for a blender, and it goes so well with our space. Even though the Beast Blender is small, though, it is super powerful and has such a wide range of uses. It can make smoothies in seconds, dips, dressings, sorbets, cocktails, or mocktails. You can even use it to chop vegetables or grind coffee, which I love. While we don't make smoothies every day, we do love to make cocktails together. We love chopping vegetables in there, so it has many different uses. Visit thebeast.com and use code REALPOD at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's thebeast, thebeast.com, and use code REALPOD for 15% off. This is a great blender to have in your dorm room, to have in your new apartment, to share with your roommates. Visit thebeast.com and use code REALPOD at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's thebeast, thebeast.com, and use code REALPOD, all caps, no spaces, for 15% off. Enjoy. If you've been following me on social media for a while now, you know I've been on a journey with my wardrobe, from Vicks fits to getting my color palette done, and I'm still in the process of really updating my wardrobe with the best staples and high quality pieces for the long haul. And I am so glad that I found Quince. Seriously, like if you want quality and luxury, but for less of a dent in your pocket, look no further than Quince. The cashmere sweater I got is absolutely stunning, and it was $50. Usually a sweater of this type is $150, but not when shopping on Quince, because all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. Quince has incredible sweaters, like I said, cashmere, European linen dresses for spring and summer, blouses, and shorts from just $30. They even have washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. So get warm weather ready for Quince. Go to quince.com/realpod for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Trust me, please go to the Quince website. You will be blown away at how amazing all the items are and shocked at the prices. That's Quince, quince.com/realpod to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/realpod.
As you guys describe your childhood dancing and the way you came to be on a show like Dancing with the Stars and to be at the level you're at, and to your point about the mindset books, and you said a sport, it is a sport. Like what you are demanding of your bodies and how you're competing, it's really intense. And I know from my experiences in volleyball, I had a lot of performance anxiety. I had a lot of nerves. How has that been? And what are your mindsets like to
perform and maintain good mental health?
Well, I think there's definitely a fear factor, but I think that's the reason why we kept doing it. Because I think if it was easy and it wasn't challenging, I probably wouldn't be doing it. It was every time stepping over yourself, you know, and, you know, under pressure, are you going to crack or are you going to thrive, right? So every time it's a live performance, right? It's not something you can redo. So you go to a competition, this is your shot right now. And in this moment, you have to be good. You have to deliver. So I think, and it's still to this day, like we just did the Dancing with the Stars tour live for 3 months on the road. We did 73 shows. And we knew this whole, our track, we knew it inside out, right? We could do it with our eyes closed on stage. Yet, even in the last show, there was still butterflies in your stomach. And before you step onto that stage, there's still nerves kicking in, right? And I think I always like to think about it that if you're nervous, that means you care. Because if you didn't really care about how it's going to come out, you know, if you don't want to, you know, deliver your best performance or whatever, you probably wouldn't care. You probably wouldn't get nervous. So this is how I look at it. And there was definitely fear factor involved every single competition. But for me, that's what I love the most about it. And getting to the level where it's not that it disappeared, but me being able to deal with it better over time is what was exciting. That I was able to, you know, talk to myself, talk myself into that mental state where I felt like I was the ultimate, you know, performer, athlete, whatever you want to call it, right? It was that mental game that I enjoyed the most. And I honestly think that if I wasn't a dancer, I'd probably be into something else that was still competitive just because I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned the word fear a lot. And one of my favorite quotes I would call on when I had performance anxiety is how you can view fear in two ways. The first being fear everything and run. And the second being face everything and rise. And I feel like that is what you're describing. You thrived on the fact that you didn't know like how you would perform in the routine. How about you, Daniela?
To be honest, I've never loved competing just because I hate being compared to other people in my field of dancing, which is why I never liked it, because it's a subjective sport, really, because you're not being judged on how many turns you do. You're basically being judged on what you like better. And one of the things I really didn't like is being compared to other dancers or this girl is better than that girl. I never liked that. So it was more of, oh God, I don't want them sitting and looking at me and saying, oh, she's crap compared to this one. And this one is better than this one. So for me, it was trying to get mentally out of a state of being perfect and trying so hard to please people. And the moment I kind of just let go and said to myself, listen, there's only one you, there's only one person that can do what you do, right? Then that's when everything started becoming better because I started just performing and thoroughly enjoying everything that we've produced together. And whether it was us coming up with different choreography pieces and competing with them and showing them off, you know, at the competition, or just moving my body in a different way than somebody else would move it, that's where I kind of started thriving, is finding my own ways of making a step look 100% organic and different to what somebody else can do. And a lot of times that might be worse because, well, they might view it as worse because it's not traditional. But when we danced and we performed our absolute best was exactly when we didn't traditional, was when we did things that other people didn't and did fun stuff and playful things and took regular basic moves and made it super unique to how we do it. So when we stopped being perfect is when, well, when I stopped trying to be perfect is when I started thriving.
I love that. I think it's so applicable for life as well. Like when you finally just beat to your own drum and you trust your unique differences, like a million things can open up for you in the world. Getting on Dancing with the Stars, can you describe that and your choice to go on the show and how it's viewed in the ballroom world?
Well, the thing is, the way our journey happened was we, at that point of our lives, got everything we wanted. And we've worked so hard since we were young to compete at all these world championship and prestigious events. And we set a goal for ourselves in those events that when we did accomplish them and we did rise and win those events, we're like, okay, this is great. But do we want to continue competing and just being in this field, in this world of dancing? Or now do we kind of feel like we're in that moment to branch out a little bit and see what else there is? And we have an amazing dance teacher who is literally like a life coach for us. It's Shirley Ballas. And she's Mark's mom. She raised Derek and Julianne as dancers too. But she has been my teacher since I was 8 years old. And she has always told us, listen, if you want to dip your foot in the water over there and try something new, do it. Do it now because you don't want it to be too late. And she kind of just was like, all right, you have your goals. You got whatever you hoped and dreamed for in this. Let's try something new. And that's exactly when Dancing with the Stars had their auditions. And we actually went on World of Dance first, though.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, so it's not easy getting Dancing with the Stars. And not easy, it's not even saying, like, not easy is not even a thing. It's like a lot of things got to align for you to be on the show. And, like, we're very, very fortunate to be a part of it. Because it's only a selected few that get a chance to be on it. And like Daniela said, once we're accomplished all the goals that we set for ourselves as competitors, we then said, yeah, this is the time. Let's go and try something else, which we really want to be in Dancing with the Stars. And it took a while to get there. Like, even we had our first editions, at that moment, we could bring to the table our expertise as dancers and teachers, but we didn't have any TV experience. So that's when we decided, you know, we started recording different things for YouTube, you know, different like music videos. And we went on the World of Dance and we, you know, competed on another dance TV show, and taking all those risks and kind of, you know, it was scary because we had to, you know, leave the competitive world and try something new and put ourselves out there. But at the end, thankfully, it all paid out. And eventually we did get on Dancing with the Stars. So once we accomplished our first goal and dream, that became the next goal and dream.
And how do you both get on? Because it's not, were you like, we're a package deal?
No.
Do you get lucky?
We had separate auditions.
So I didn't even get a chance to audition because I was on tour with Derek Huff. So it was like, the way the universe works is crazy, because the first time we auditioned, we weren't even professionals yet, were we? Mm. Maybe we weren't professionals yet in the ballroom dance world, because you have amateur and professional categories. So we weren't even getting a chance to do professional. So I guess the universe was like, guys, wait a second, go live your hopes and dreams in the professional world a little bit. And while you're doing that, try the little TV hustle thing on the side. And that's exactly what we did. We were still competing in ballroom. We started our professional career, we went on World of Dance, and that's where Derek was like, okay, can you come in and like rehearse with me for a music video I want to do? I was like, amazing. Yeah, he's an amazing dancer. And we did the little gig together, and that's where he was like, do you want to go on tour for 3 months? And I'm like, I'm married and I have my dance profession. I don't know if I can do it. Sasha's like, you're going. He's like, you're going. I'm like, babe, it's 3 months long. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to like survive there without you there for even a week. And he's like, you're going. I'm like, okay. So I called Eric. I'm like, all right, I'm going. And Sasha, he was like, I think Dancing with the Stars wanted us. We auditioned, right?
Well, yeah. So basically they said that there's going to be auditions. They reached out to us. So it's not like open auditions where you can submit your own thing. It's they reach out to you, I guess. They scouting.
You don't call them. They call you.
Yeah. So there was audition. There were a lot of people auditioning. But at that day when the audition was happening, Daniela was on tour with Derek. So she did kind of like a virtual audition, but I auditioned in person. It was actually a very, very interesting experience.
Why?
Because it was like broken down in four parts. And I think by doing that, they really get to see you how you're going to be on the show, because you had to choreograph two dances and they had to be to kind of like a pop music, not traditional ballroom, which is, you know, that you hear on the show. Mm-hmm. And you have to show, you know, two different styles, like Latin dancing, like proper frame ballroom dancing. You have to first choreograph it, then you have to dance it. So they see you as a choreographer and dancer. Mm-hmm. then you do an on-camera audition where you, you know, answer questions. So I guess they see how you are on camera. And the last thing was they closed me in the studio with a camera and somebody who doesn't know how to dance. And they closed me in there for 15 minutes with camera and they said, teach her something. So it was, what so can cool. you teach a person, you know, in 15 minutes in front yeah. of a camera? And so that was interesting. And it was a very, very interesting experience.
Wow. And I know you guys are amazing teachers because I was lucky Thank enough you. To have one lesson with you, which is like bucket list for many people. So really grateful for that. I want to go back to one thing you said, which was you were like, I'm going to be there and I can't survive a week without you. I was thinking you guys have obviously spent so much time together. You're so connected in work and life and you're a couple. How has that been? Like, does it work really well because you guys are so similar? What made you say, yes, just go do it? Some people are like, no, I want, you know, you here with me. Like there's jealousy or there's envy or there's anxious attachment. So I'd love to learn more about your relationship style.
When you said you're similar, we're
we are complete
as different
opposite.
As you can get. Yeah,
really?
We're complete opposites.
You don't give that energy.
Yeah. I think that's why it works. Yeah. We're very, very different. But I always like to look at the big picture. And I think once you, you know, step outside and you see the big picture, it's always easier, you know, to make decisions. And you're like, okay, look, it's just 3 months. If you think about it, right, in the scheme of life, 3 months, but you have this amazing opportunity and it's pushing our career forward and we're trying something new, which we wanted to do. So why not do it? Yeah. So that was my take on that specific situation.
But also there's trust. And that I think this is like marriage counseling right here, guys, if you're tuning in, I'm just kidding. But trust is a huge thing and it plays a huge role because without trust, if you're looking into our lives and what we've done in our career, you'd be like, why is she up close and personal with this guy? Why is he so close to this other girl? But we have like that upbringing where for us, this is normal. Like to touch someone's shoulder like this without sexual intimacy feelings or whatnot is normal. And our whole lives, we've been taught to look into each other's eyes and like feel each other up because that's how you ballroom dance. Like it's very touchy feely sport. And for us, it's super normal. And there's a lot of trust that goes into it. Because if he was dancing with another girl while we were competing, like I trust that he won't go and do something. And if he does, like peace out. That's just how we are. But that's how it works on the show too. And that's a big topic on our show is that trust, you
yeah.
know?
What's the line there? Because I can imagine when you and I saw you both dancing together, I think it was during the Lover, I went to Taylor Swift night. Oh. I remember I got to say hi to you. And you were coupled up, which I think is so great that in those dances, you guys get to be together. And like, obviously, you guys are looking at each other with like dying love for each other. It's clear. But then like, if you dance with someone else, both of you, you have to, you know, fake that connection because it's part of the performance. So isn't there an element though of like, what's the line of eye contact or like expression? How do you guys tell?
Well, thing is,
it's like acting, right? So like, yeah. like Daniela said, from a young age, for example, when you dance ballroom and specifically ballroom, talking about like waltz, foxtrot, right? It's, you know, you're in a frame, your two bodies are connected together, like Fred Astaire and Ginger, right? And we would practice with a piece of paper, you know, like since we were kids, you know, a coach would put a piece of paper between two people, you know, and you move together and you look at it, it's, I don't know, like sport. You have to do something in sync. Two people have to move together with body contact and move like one.
Yeah.
It's part of the dance, right? So for us, we don't think about it in any other way rather than this is the technique, right? So this is the technique. You hold the person by their hand. You look them in the eyes. You dance, you know, in close proximity
you're
with each other.
Selling the story, you know, like you're literally, if you're not looking into each other's eyes and you're not close enough, like you're not selling anything.
It's like acting.
It's literally acting. So when it's funny because there are times where we have partners, like for example, Pasha would come to a lot of mine and Iman's, a partner of mine's rehearsals, and he'd be like, closer, closer. Nose to nose, nose to nose, or like forehead to forehead. And Iman is like, bro, that's your wife. And he's like, yeah, I know, but that's the storyline. Same thing with Ariana this season. Like, I'd come in, I'm like, you need to be nose, like touching his nose with your nose. Like, that's how close you need to be. It needs to be sexy. And she's like, okay, like, this is weird, but okay. And it's so funny to like see us in a, like, in a same room with our partners, because they're like, what are you saying? Even Joseph last season was like, you're married. And I'm like, yeah, but we need to be selling the story.
Yeah.
Like, it's not,
I want to win the Mirrorball trophy.
Seriously.
But it's probably really helpful though when you are in there and you're saying it, because then they probably feel like a level of comfort. So the trust though, where does like that trust come from for you both? Because I know that's hard for a lot of people in relationships.
I think it's self-worth. If you don't have that self-confidence and you're trying to look for that confidence in someone else and you're confiding in them and you're like, help me be better, help me be better. That's when it's, you're not going to find the right person for you. And if you don't have that, if somebody goes out and cheats on you, or if he does have eyes for someone else and you're like, no, please, please come back. That's not self-worth. And you should know your worth and know that whoever you are, you will find better for yourself if your man or woman is, or partner is, taking interest in someone else. Mm-hmm. And if they are, peace out. Like, why stay with them?
I love that she throws up the peace. I always say that to Max. I'm always like, if you ever, I'm gone. He's like, I know. He's like, immune. He always imitates me. I do the same thing.
It's true, though.
You got to keep reminding them that, Eve, like, no matter how long we've been together, one and done, baby. One and done.
Same, I always say, once, you know, like, what is it? Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. And like, that's one thing that I wouldn't be able to forgive.
Yeah.
Like, we have the same view about it, that like, it's something that's unforgivable, you know? So why would you ever? Mm-hmm. And, you know.
But listen, there are people who do it and they're fine with it. Please live your life.
No, that's personal, of course. That's
It's a personal thing. But you got to be aligned with the person you're going to commit to.
That's,
you have to be
thing.
On the same page.
That's the thing.
There's a lot of people who are like, wait, I'm not on with that. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I am pleased to say that my social battery right now is feeling charged. I feel energized and more relaxed than I have in the past, when I was spreading myself way too thin and overcommitting myself left and right. One of the main reasons for feeling more charged is that I have recently adopted a new mantra for myself when deciding if I'm going to commit something. And the mantra is, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. And that mantra has empowered me to look within myself for answers and be more in touch with how I truly want to spend my time. And I owe this intentional building of a social life that doesn't drain me to the work I've done in therapy. I have been in therapy for years now, and seriously, it has had such a tremendous impact on the way that I maintain balance in my life. Therapy has empowered me to be the best version of myself and set confident boundaries. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. To get started, all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/realpod to get 10% off your first month. Do that today at BetterHelp, Better. Help, help.com/realpod. It's super important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for many years now, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 versions of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. I mean, people ask me all the time, is AG1 the real deal? Like, do you really drink it every day? And I'm like, yes, I promise you. There's a reason why it's an integral part of my everyday routine, and that's truly the quality. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. So I know that I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1. And lastly, taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 makes it so simple. They cover all my nutritional bases and set me up for success in just 60 seconds. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes vitamin C and zinc to support my immune health.
So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/realpod. That's drinkag1.com/realpod. Check it out. Back to you guys being more opposites. If you think about a time that you like, I'm guessing then that means there is conflict sometimes because you want or think differently. How do you
There are
actually
no conflicts.
We have less conflict.
Really?
Yeah, and the thing is this. It's like Daniela is, she is, first of all, she has zero filter, as you can probably tell already. And she's the most straightforward person. Like there is no mind games. There's no nothing. If she doesn't like something, whether it's with me, our colleagues, you can ask our colleagues on tour. They'll tell you. She'll be the first person right away to tell you because that's her thing. She's like, why not say it? Why just not say it?
And I love that. It might not
be great.
At
first, it's shocking. People are at first like, wait, what? But then they respect it. They're like, oh, she's actually the only person who tells me the truth, right? So she's very straightforward. So with me, for me, it's like it's never guessing. And if it never escalates to any argument because before the argument can even start, she would already tell me if she didn't like something or whatever, right?
But he's Buddha. So he is literally like, if something happens or whatever, he's so calm and he's so reasonable and just so smart. And he's like, tell me why. Just tell me why. I won't do it again. Just tell me why. Yeah. Like, aww. He's just like the nicest
he's
person.
He's Buddha. That's hilarious.
Ever. He's literally Buddha. Like, nothing ever phases him. And if it does, run. That's a side you do not want to see.
Nah, it's when it's something to do, I guess, like with if something to do with family or, you know, like if I feel that my family has been or my close friends or whatever it is, you know, like has been disrespected or it's those cases for me, you know, when it's like somebody steps over some boundaries. That's, I think, the only thing for me. But otherwise, yeah. And that's why there is no arguments because it never escalates. It never to that. And I think that's where the difference between our personalities actually works for the better.
One of my pet peeves is when I see somebody and they're like, what's wrong? And they're like, nothing's wrong. Clearly something's wrong. Just tell them something's wrong because that will fix everything, I promise. Like that is one thing that's just like, why? Just literally tell them what's wrong for me and my brain.
I think our only, if you call them fights or disagreements or whatever they are, where when we were competing and when we were in a rehearsal space.
Good. I'm like, give us the tea. I want a big fight between the two.
And we always, the first thing that we decided once we started dating was that we're going to separate the workspace and, you know, like our personal life. Because like the moment we step outside of the studio, if there was some disagreement in the studio, we do not take it home, right? But disagreement was, again, I think it's in ballroom dancing, right? The big thing about ballroom dancing is connection, right?
When
because you always hold each other, right? And you lead each other and you follow, and it's such a in the moment sensitive thing, right? That like, oh, like that was too strong or not enough, or you led me too soon, or you didn't follow me, or you didn't wait for me to lead you, you went by yourself. And that's the thing, because it is, you can't just like perfect it. It will always be an in the moment thing that, you know, you have to find on that day, in that second, to be perfectly aligned. And once it's not, it doesn't feel great.
But the worst part is, it's when you get into like a heated argument and you're in the studio and we're not yelling at each other, but I'm like, you could have been like less aggressive in the connection. And you're like, no, I want more. I want more. And then we're like really getting at it. And then we're like, crap, we have to go home. And we get home and he's like, oh, you can't be mad at me here. And I'm like, dang it.
It's like safe zone. You like touch the house and you're like, you can't be mad.
That's it.
Can't
be mad. That's it. But that was really our like only thing. And it only had to do with like specifically like technical aspects of dancing. So I felt it was more like a work argument, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So when, though, did you begin to date? Like, when did it go from we're having thoughts, but how do I say it? Because what if he or she's not feeling it and then I ruin the partnership?
So as a ballroom dancer, I feel like we grow up faster than a lot of the people see us to be. And we've been in each other's lives for so long. Like, I feel like I knew of him and he knew of me, that we kind of like became best friends so fast. And we kind of knew each other so well, so fast.
I also felt right away, like, I know she likes me. So it's like, it's if we're going to like, if I take that step, you know, further forward, yeah. There you're won't like, be like,
my wife.
There won't be a rejection.
So. I love that.
But also like, oh, he was so cute. I mean, he's still, look at him. But like, I was like, oh, he's so cute. And then I tried, the thing is, I tried really hard. I was like, okay, we're going into a show. We booked a show and it was like a 4-hour drive or something like that. And I was so giddy. I was like, oh my God, he's so cute. But I'm not going to like try to make it obvious. Clearly, I didn't do a good job. And I just remember being like, well, are you going to take your girlfriend out or something? He's like, I don't have a girlfriend. I'm like, oh, dang it. Are you going to take your boyfriend? He's like, I don't have a boyfriend either. And I was like, okay, so he might be interested in me. And I'm like, oh my God, he doesn't have a girlfriend or boyfriend. I have a chance. And I started like really trying hard. I kind of leaned over. I kind of made a move on him. And the rest is history. Like, I just knew of him for so long, and he has such a reputation in the ballroom world. He was, first of all, he was like champion on champion. He was winning everything.
Right.
My mom knew him more than I knew. Like, my mom was close with him. So it was crazy. Like, our families were right away. We knew of each other, so we were super close. And my mom was probably his biggest fan. And she always wanted me to be with someone like him, too, because, like, the way he took care of his partners was just unmatched. I remember seeing them in the dance studio, and he would bring her water, and he would like do her shoes. And it was just such a gentleman. And I just right away felt so hard for him. And I've always wanted to like, you know, have a guy like that. So I remember when I told my mom.
I love this podcast thing. I'm finding out so much.
Yeah. And I remember telling my mom.
You don't tell me this every day.
I don't. I remember telling my mom. I was like, Mom, he's so cute. Like, what do I do? Like, I don't know if I should. She's like, he's a nice guy. You know, just trust your instinct. Trust your gut. And then when I told her that we started dating, she was like, when's the wedding? Was a wedding. She was like so happy.
How crazy that does mom ever take credit? Like, I put you in dance.
Never.
Really?
Never. Aww. That's the thing. Like, she never takes credit. She always says it's me, my doing, which is not, because I wouldn't be where I am without her. And my mom literally sacrificed everything for me to do what I want to do. And I remember her telling me, I was like, Mom, why don't you go on a date with this guy? Or like, just have a, she's like, you're my life. Like, until you're up and running and on your feet, then that's when I choose to go and explore and be with a guy or whatever. And that's what she did.
What a selfless.
Which is crazy.
Mama. She sounds amazing.
She's the best.
Aw. And is your family in the States?
Yes. Yes. My family's in the States. And my parents, same thing. They immigrated here, you know, and they came literally with nothing. And they left their life. They took this giant leap of faith, left their life that they knew, their jobs, their careers, you know, the safety, right? Came here and took every job they can, working for a minimum wage, like Daniela said, you know, and just to, for us to afford a couple lessons a week, just so we can keep pursuing our dream. And again, if it wasn't for them, there would be no chance we would be where we are today.
Yeah. You guys are both so successful now. It must just be surreal. Like, some days you probably are like, wow, we really did the thing and we did it together and we made it.
It's crazy because sometimes like we'll have long drives and talk about where we started from. We had nothing. We literally had nothing.
We traveled to competitions in England and our choice was to go and compete. So you buy the ticket to fly there, obviously the hotel.
You pay for everything.
Yeah. And costumes. So we had a suitcase that was half of it was dance shoes and dance costumes. And the other half was cup of noodles. We took with us to England because that's, and we were there for a week competing, and that's all we were eating.
Wow.
We were eating cup of noodles, you know, just like some hot, we can find free hot water, right, in the hotel room. So we had to pack it because we couldn't afford, you know, to spend money eating there while we're traveling.
Wow. And now you are celebrities, dancing with the stars, icons, phenoms, parents. I mean, last, but most importantly, Nikita, how has it been growing your family?
It's amazing. Because I feel like a lot of people view children as the moment you have kids, you got to stop what you're doing and stop doing what you love, and you can't travel, you can't do this. There's so many negatives that come with it. And we just got off a 3-month tour all over America, went to two countries, like went to Canada and back twice. She has traveled all across with us, and she has been traveling more than I think I've done in my whole life. And we had the best time. She's such a good trooper. Like she's in the little back room with us on tour, and she's the first thing she does is she like curls up into the window, looks out the window, makes sure she's in her new surroundings, and then she goes off the bus. She's living her best life.
For her, like, she doesn't know what it's supposed to be, right? Well, she doesn't have a reference point. And I feel like for her, home is as long as we're there. You know, I think that's when she feels like, oh, I'm home. Even though that home was a bus for us for 3 months, right? Mm-hmm. And every day was a new city. But as long as she was waking up next to us and she saw our faces, I guess that was the association with what home is. And right now, when we came home, it's still the same thing.
Right.
It's crazy because me being a mom, I feel like I've never been so happy and so fulfilled like when we are all the three of us, because I feel like now I'm truly living my best life with her here, and we have such a good marriage. We've had a good marriage before her. We have a great marriage with her, and I feel like the three of us just, like, I've never been so happy. And I feel like people can see that, which is crazy because I don't read comments online very much. We try not to read comments, but a lot of them lately have been like, you're glowing. You look like better as a mom. Like, I feel like I'm meant to be here. Like, I wanted to be a mom my whole life. And the fact that I'm here is surreal. And the fact that I get to do it with him and her together is even crazier. It's like, I've only wanted that in life. And I'm just so genuinely happy to do it with the three of them. It's crazy.
I'm so glad that you feel that way. I mean, that's everything a new parent could hope for, is to feel that way when they have their baby.
Yeah.
It's probably a few years off for us, but that's I can only hope.
There's no time limit.
Right. But I know, similar to what you said of like, it's your dream to like, you know, be with Pasha and have kids together. Like, I think about that with Max with every milestone. I'm like, I would love to be your wife. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love for you to be the father of my children. You know, but it's like, can't rush the process.
Yeah. And you have to trust it too. Mm-hmm. Like, you really have to trust the process. So there's no timeline. Like, if you set your timeline, that's usually when it doesn't happen, because the universe knows better than you.
Right.
When the right time is. And for us specifically, like, it was now.
Aw, he's like you're getting more compliments.
I'm loving it. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary this coming July.
Wow, congratulations! So
it's been a while, like, that we've been together, but you see, when you have a kid now, and of course, we've heard many times, you know, that
we have European parents.
Yeah, why aren't you having kids? You know, like, we want grandchildren, and of course, you know, everybody has their own opinion and friends and this and that, you know, and like, oh, nobody's getting any younger. But I honestly feel like everybody has their own timeline. And they said, well, when you're gonna have a kid, you'll regret that you didn't have them earlier. I had a kid and I'm like earlier. I feel that this is the perfect time.
Yeah.
And the perfect time, because I'm in a point in my life where I have an opportunity to spend the time with her that I want to spend. I'm like, if I had her earlier, I wasn't in that place of my life where I could afford to do that. And I'm like, and the most valuable thing is for me is the time with her right now, because she's growing up. Everybody says, you know, they grow up so fast. She's growing up so fast and you don't want to miss anything. And I'm like, if I was, you know, hustling and bustling to the point where I couldn't see her, you know, that would be the worst feeling in the world. So for me personally, this was the perfect time. So I guess everybody has their own timeline.
And because you chose now, you have Nikita. I mean, I'm so glad that you both feel so fulfilled. And you're just the loveliest humans. Congratulations on everything. You guys, like, wholeheartedly deserve your success. You've worked your asses off. Your families have sacrificed. You've sacrificed. And I just, like, it's surreal to think about, like, the cup of noodles to now. So congrats.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful to kind of feel like we're friends now, and I know you both and root for you. And thank you for coming on the show and being so open. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Of course.
This was awesome.
Yay.
Never had so many compliments in my life.
Oh.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie. Share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.